Alright, say it.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
The Auschamp podcast.
Podcast. You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
So I have Michael David here, director and manager of the online performance team of Internetrics. Michael, can you give us a brief overview of Internetrics and your services?
So at Internetrics, we're a digital analytics and marketing company. We've got offices in Australia and China. Our primary aim is to help our customers receive ROI from their digital investment. So what that means is better understanding of their customers, better understanding of the customer journey, how they acquire their customers, what the customers do on their website, and how you get increased retention rates, so keep your customers with you, and conversion rates, so getting them to the point of your website where you really derive value from them.
So since your company focuses on digital consultation, can you give us an overview of the major challenges that companies tend to encounter when seeking to establish a cohesive social media presence?
Generally speaking, companies really struggle to use their data. There's an absolute wealth of data collected through the social media channels, their website channels, all of the online interactions done between them and their customers. So they're really not using that data to understand who their customer is, how they're interacting with the customer, and what sort of value they're getting out of them. Right. From there, once you've got that, you also need to be able to be fluid. So strategies, schedules, processes are important. But at the same time, you need to be able to pivot. If what you're doing is not resonating with your customer, you really need to be able to move on that.
Yeah, because I do think that the first impression of your company is often online to the consumer, right? So it's very important to have a good online presence because it's the first thing the consumer sees.
Yes, very correct. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it these days, have a look around when you're sitting in your office. How many devices on each desktop? Mm-hmm. Traditional methods, people would found out either through television, newsprint, you know, other mediums like that. But these days, they may get the initial awareness through that, but it's your digital presence. When you think about your experience, when you hear about something new or a product or a service or an experience, the first thing you do is get online. Right. You go to their website, understand who it is, pricing. You go to the message boards and social media channels, see what people are saying. So that's why it's really critical to do what you can to craft that experience, craft your digital presence, because that's how people are judging you these days.
Okay. So since social media platforms are becoming quite cramped now, do you have any practical suggestions on what businesses can do to stand out?
Dare to be different. Having said that, it's also really critical to stay true to your business, your corporate principles and values, right? So you want to be different. You want to think about how you can engage differently, you know, not just traditional back and forth conversation, but build some groundswell, build some knowledge, build a innovative campaign. Now, it's important to get buy-in for that as well, because a lot of companies do have their corporate structure, their corporate presence. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure before you do that and before you take any risks, you do the education behind it and be prepared. And then most importantly, don't be afraid of the critical. A critical review, a critical comment is an excellent opportunity to promote your business better. Engage with that person and look at them as an opportunity to convert them, a hard conversion. Okay. You'll get real value out of those customers.
That's very interesting. So following on from that, what factors do you think are important to consider when developing a social media strategy for their company?
Like with most things for your business, having goals and benchmarks are critical. Mm-hmm. So don't just come in with a social media strategy. Hey, I want to do this, or I want to talk to these people, or I've got a really great idea to do something really fun and funky and creative. You need to have goals and benchmarks set out. So what is the end goal of this campaign or your overall strategy? Are we looking to build awareness? Are we looking for direct conversion? Mm-hmm. Are we looking to just engage better with our audience and our customers to learn more about them? And then set your benchmarks along the way, because having benchmarks and measuring against those benchmarks will actually let you know if you're being effective with that communication and potentially show you how, again, you might need to shift or pivot to reach the goals that you've set.
Okay. And when a company comes to you hoping to build their online presence, do they have a target amount of followers or hits they want to gain? What do they come to you with?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of companies come in with a number. Mm-hmm. I want 5,000 followers.
Okay.
Or I want you to increase my sales. I want more online sales.
Okay.
And so what we actually do at the start is try and help shape their expectation and requirements. So that's great. We'll get you as many sales as we can. Mm-hmm. But how many sales can you handle? That's when we get the question of, well, what do you mean? Because everybody thinks they want as much as possible.
Oh.
But if your operation can only handle 5,000 orders a day,
mm-hmm.
us trying to get you 10,000 orders a day is only going to cause you problems.
Right.
Growth is great, but there's got to be a growth strategy. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing with social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want 10,000 followers. Well, that's great. What are you going to do with those 10,000 followers? The numbers don't matter. It's the conversation and the value that your followers, your visitors, your engaged audience get out of what you're providing them.
Mm. Talking about social media, in your view, are there any fundamental differences between the social media platforms particular to China? So, for example, WeChat, Weibo, QQ, compared to the social media giants that dominate the Western world? So we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. What are the key differences, in your opinion?
So I'm in a difficult position because I've got no Chinese capabilities. I can't speak the language. I don't know Chinese characters, any of that. So my use of Chinese social media platforms is limited. I do use WeChat. But the biggest thing, probably the best advice or the biggest difference I notice,
mm-hmm.
and this is through doing business. This is through doing business. This is through the communications I do have with Chinese and our teams in China is... it's important to understand your audience. So understanding the Chinese market is different than understanding the Western market. East and West think differently.
Mm.
The way we form sentences, the way we form ideas, the way we communicate, the way we do business, relationship versus transactional. It's really important, and that was one of the biggest learnings I had when I first started, was to remember that you're not dealing with your brother or sister if you're from the West. You're dealing with somebody you don't know.
Right.
So it's important to adjust your thinking and the way you use platforms.
Okay.
So differences in style, differences in communication patterns.
Right.
You know, in Australia, we don't... I love this feature in WeChat, is instead of typing text messages, you speak into it and just send these little bursts of words.
Right.
Now, we don't do that in Australia.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
very practical. It's very efficient.
That's exactly right.
Mm.
So it's... So just looking at that and going, well, this is so much easier instead of trying to type and walk and walking into, I watched a girl yesterday walk into a wall and then, and then a barrier while she was typing. So being able to speak naturally and then send those messages. So remembering that your audience is using the technology differently
mm-hmm.
and thinks differently. And then the last one I'd sort of say is if you are a Westerner doing business over here, what I found really helpful is making sure that I include my Chinese staff. So if I've got an idea, I run it by them and they tell me whether I'm stupid or not. You know, hey,
okay.
Will this work? Will this resonate? Does this mean anything to you? And you know, they'll sort of give me the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Right, okay. No, I agree. I think it's very important for any company trying to reach an overseas market to have people, to have local people working in your team. So what is the value of analytics for business purposes then? How do they help businesses refine their strategy and increase their visibility?
One of our mantras in Internetrics is data-driven decisions. And what this means is we don't make recommendations, we don't make changes unless we've got the data to back it up. So you've got the picture, you understand the picture,
mm-hmm.
and then you use that to make informed decisions around strategy, direction, and things like that. That's why analytics are critical. Many business people are very successful. They're smart, they're experienced, they understand. Or you're new to the industry, you've got a new niche, you know, you're the only one who understands what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The key is not what you know. The key is what your customers know and what your customer intent is. You could have the greatest messaging of all time, but if it doesn't resonate with your customers,
mm.
then you're not going to get the results you want, because at the end of the day, the result is conversion.
Mm.
So that's why it's important to understand your data. Your data will tell you what your customers are thinking and how that aligns with your messaging. So is it resonating? Is it not resonating?
Mm.
Where do we need to pivot? Do we need to shift everything, or do we just need to, you know, make small changes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's very important to cater to your target audience and to keep up to date with what people are following. And you're right, it's very important to look at those analytics and see where the demand is and how your company can cater to that demand. Do you think having a good social media profile has a clear correlation to business growth and profit maximization?
my feelings are these days, everything you do, your whole presence, start to finish, online, offline, above the line, how you present, everything matters. Mm. This is what parents are saying to kids these days. You know, if you do something stupid, it ends up online, mm-hmm. and it's there forever. Once it's there, it's there. It's the same with your business. Having a strong profile means people will come to you, know you, like you, and trust you, and want to transact with you. Having a weak profile, whether it's your social profile, whether it's your corporate profile, people will find reasons to go to your competitors. Mm. That's why it's really important to have a really easy conversion pathway.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
If it's really hard for somebody to buy what they... So your customer comes to you because they know you, they know what they want. I want to buy a pen. I want to buy this pen from you. So they come to your website, they look for the pen, they go to the pen's page, they pick the pen they want, then they want to order it. Mm. If they're sent back to the front page saying, hey, we know you like our pens, here's some information on pens, as opposed to being sent straight into a channel where they can easily just 2-3 clicks, boom, here's the pen. Right. It's going to be on your desk in 3 days, 2 days, however long. If they struggle with that process, they're going to go to your competitor who does that easily.
Okay.
Same with your social profile. If they come to your social page and all you're doing is ranting about things that don't matter to your customers, or they can see you're not interacting pleasantly with your other, you know, somebody makes a bad comment and your response is, you're an idiot, get off my whatever page, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody makes a comment and says, we don't like your business, and you say, that's fair enough, we understand that, I'm not sure what we've done to do this, what can we do to rectify this, can we take this offline,
okay.
You know, or hey, Tell me why. There's a balance, and that's where we help businesses, is we help them understand that balance between having that conversation online, having the conversation offline, but making sure that every negative is a good opportunity, and then making sure your profile as a whole is one that people want to engage with.
Mm.
So that's what I mean. It's just, you want to make it easy for your customers, easy for them to love you, and easy for them to get what they want, which is exactly what you want, a conversion.
This is all very interesting to me, by the way, in my field. So it's good. In China in particular, would you say that most businesses have a strong reliance on digital platforms? And how has e-commerce interacted with social media platforms to facilitate its growth?
So my understanding of the way digital business occurs in China is it's a little bit different than the West. In the West, we've got our own little pockets we control, whether it's our social media profile, whether it's our corporate website. Not a lot of businesses will use a company like eBay to sell their products.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying it's not the done thing,
mm-hmm.
but most of the time you create your own platform, run your own platform. You've got your own e-commerce, big commerce sort of platform and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in China, it seems to be a lot more aggregated. So you use your Alibaba and other platforms like this, where businesses come in and they sell their products through these aggregated. They're almost like That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's almost like mega malls, digital mega malls.
Mm.
Like you see in the States, you come in and there's a million shops. You can do everything from, you know, your groceries right? Whereas in Australia, everybody's got their own boutique shop.
Mm.
So that's why it's important to stand out, I think. And yes, definitely, the Chinese very much use digital platforms, digital channels. You know, out at dinner last night, I looked around and there's table, you know, and there was Western faces as well. And I see it in Australia as well. Everybody's sitting around the table of four people, and they're all sitting there on their phones, you know.
Mm.
I'm sure everybody's not reading the news or looking to see what Donald Trump's done today, right?
I'm sure that's not the case.
Yeah, that's right. So everybody's on social, and that's the key is from now, you know, with the invention of QR codes and things like that.
Mm.
If I'm interested in something now, I scan the QR code, mm. and I've got all the information I need. So yes, very much linked. You know, use your social media to build your presence,
mm.
to draw your people in, and then to drive them to your commerce site. And then there's these sort of huge commerce superstores, which, again, it's important to have that relationship with your customer.
Do you think there will be, in the Australian market, do you think there'll be a shift more towards this structure, or where do you see this direction for Australia? Is that a big question?
No, it's a good question. Tough question. That is a good question. It comes down to what I was sort of saying earlier, the East versus West.
Right.
You know? And it's not just... Also, it's not just the culture or the culture sort of differences, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's also... Have you ever heard the expression or, you know, ever asked the question, you ask somebody, a business or whomever, hey, why are you doing it that way? And the answer is, well, that's because the way we've always done it. Right. For mine, it's almost as if the industries have evolved that way. So the Chinese industry has evolved that way because somebody smart at the start went, right, let's aggregate all this and make it easier. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a country like Australia, everybody's like, I'm an individual. So right. I'm going to have my own presence. And that's the way it's sort of gone. And that's why we've got... You know, I don't want to say, I use boutique, but I don't mean it in the small sense. But every right. single presence is a boutique, like you'd see, you know, walking down, like, George Street. You know, mm-hmm. it's that's probably a bad example being in Australia. But, you know, you walk down and every shop is its individual shop. Mm. You know, they may be selling the same thing next door, but they do it their way.
Okay.
So I don't really see a massive change. Plus, we don't have really good... There isn't the strong platforms.
Mm.
You sort of want to be careful about what you say with regards to how the different cultures operate. The Chinese are very good about sort of thinking and working together. Australians are very good about being an individual, you know. Is that politically correct enough, right? But that's why I'm not really sure. You know, Australia... I don't really want to bag out Australians either, but, you know, I don't see massive changes.
Okay.
Now, the change I could see, perhaps, is if it moves to a more, as China continues to evolve from an economic and from a business perspective, we perhaps will see more branchings off mm-hmm. into more individual, like, here's my presence and here we go. Okay. And you do already see that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm using blanket statements. Not every Chinese business, but maybe there will be that move eventually,
mm-hmm.
depending on, you know, the fee structures and things like that. If you realize that, hey, with an initial upfront investment, I'm my own boss, I'm my own master, mm-hmm. I don't have to pay a per transaction fee. We will see that. But at the end of the day, like mm-hmm. I say with everything, let your data tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Start with a small presence, compare your performance there with your performance on the large aggregators.
Mm-hmm.
Let the data tell you.
Okay, all right. That's a good take-home message, I think. My next question is, should more businesses invest in training their staff to become more tech savvy and successfully navigate a broad cross-section of social media platforms?
I think it's very important for businesses to have internal capabilities.
Mm.
And that's why we run training. Our aim is not to be the embedded IT office team for a business. Our aim is to provide businesses with marketing and analytics capabilities, give them our services while including education in that. So doing training around it so that you're able to manage the day-to-day. You know your business best.
Mm-hmm.
You should be managing the day-to-day. And then you come to us for high-level things, your strategy, problem-solving,
mm-hmm.
bigger problems like attribution, things like that.
Right.
Use us for our expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got years of experience, loads of training. Let us solve your big problems, and then let us help you be able to take care of the day-to-day. That's my feeling. You know, we like to work collaboratively with businesses. We don't want to take over.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what your business is. You're your expert on your business. We're experts on digital marketing and digital analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Let us help you gain those sort of capabilities. And that's the way we operate.
Mm-hmm.
Other businesses might, you know, they might feel differently about it, but I think it's really important that you need and should have some internal ownership and expertise.
I think that's a very valid point, that in your internal operations, day-to-day, your media and your analytics, mm-hmm. you should be able to manage and oversee that.
If you've got the internal capabilities,
mm-hmm.
it allows you to be more confident in what we're doing and knowing that we're not blocking you out.
Right.
You've got the capabilities to double-check and triple-check and make sure, hey, we're happy with what they propose and what they're delivering.
Great. So in your opinion, is it better for businesses to invest in one office expert or have an office full of staff that know the basics? So how big should their internal team be?
I'm a big believer in across the board. Mm-hmm. Having an individual knowing everything is a weak point. that person could leave. That's they could true. Go sour, you know, sick, anything, you know. If you've got a single expert in the office, all it takes is one sick day and for an important client to call in asking for something, and you're up the creek, right? So I think it's important. There should be somebody who has got a more broader knowledge of everything, who can help everybody, but I think it should be teams, you know, shared knowledge, you know, that's the way we work. That's what I love about my guys, is they all work together. Nobody squirrels away their knowledge. Everybody shares. If somebody has a question, it's show you how and help you out. So I think most organizations should work like that. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be an individual. It should be a team. The knowledge should be shared. And doing that will actually help foster learning as well. Hey guys, I saw this really cool thing. Do you want to do it? And somebody goes, oh, that reminds me about this. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got a learning and cooperative environment where everybody's collaborating, working together. Mm-hmm. And that's where we see the best results.
Strength in the masses, I guess. I had one final question, but I think you might have answered it a bit in a previous question that I asked you, in where do you see the future of digital analytics, and how do you see this... In my opinion, technology is always very, there's always very rapid advancements. In the last 10, 20 years, we've made tremendous strides with this. So in your opinion, where's the future for this?
Yeah, it's a really good point. Technology, everything changes, and changes quickly, very quickly. It doesn't stop, you know. We've got our first generation of employees entering the workforce who doesn't know what the world looks like without computers or the internet, right? You know, we're not far off from the first generation entering, not knowing what the world looks like without a smartphone. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just a couple years away from that as well. So it's really important to stay up to date. And it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily keep me awake at night, but it's something I've got to be aware of. Because if I'm not paying attention, if the market shifts, that leaves my business out of it. From an analytics perspective, we're already seeing the changes. So big data has been around since 2012, I think. Mm-hmm. And what big data gives you is it gives you large set data analysis, which from there you can use to extrapolate out and do prediction. Okay. So predictive modeling and predictive analytics is very much all of the major players, that's what they're working on at the moment. Right. Not thinking about the businesses who are sort of on the cutting edge or pushing the envelope. The future for everybody who's sitting there going, what is analytics? Your immediate future should be learning what analytics is, if we're using it, and if we're not using it, how soon can we be using it? Because you think back to traditional, the shop owner. People walk in, hey, Fred, how are you today? Hi, Susie, how are you today? Oh, you're just after some milk and bread, right? Mm-hmm. They form those relationships. You came in, you could see, you know, if somebody looked tired, oh, the kids kicked you up last night, or you're struggling with this at work, or something, you know, you could see it on people's faces. Well, we don't have that anymore. Right. So these days, organizations spend billions of dollars on reward programs. The whole point isn't to give you a few points so that you can get a discount or a seat upgrade or whatever. Mm-hmm. The whole point is to build a profile on who you are as a customer. You give information, and it's the same thing with social media. People complain about, oh, well, the government or business is too much up in my business, you know, finding out about me. But then we fall all over ourselves to tell people where we are, what we like to eat, what we like to wear, our favorite band on social media, right? So the key is around building those profiles, and businesses can do that. You can do that using your social media. You can do that using analytics, and that'll help you understand your customers. Ignoring the sort of creepy aspect about it, if you look at it correctly, it's how you better service your customer. The better you understand your customer, the better service you can provide them. Then you move into predictive. Mm-hmm. So that's the immediate future. I don't even need to see it. I'm not saying great visionary. Everybody's already talking about this. Mm-hmm. But if you can use what's happened the last 6 months to best guess estimate what's going to happen in your business in the next 6 months, you can control stock. You can control digital investment. You control marketing. You can control staffing even, you know. Mm-hmm. You'll know what your P&L is going to look like as it shifts based on your your business statements, your profit statements, okay. Like the bottom line of your business. You'll be able to actually predict how that's going to go based on your previous year's work, the digital marketing, so the data and the analytics you're getting back about that, and you'll be able to actually shape your business and know when you need to push and know when you can coast. you know, internal improvement versus heavy sales and marketing. So that's, you know, that's, I'd love to say that I'm a visionary, but it's pretty standard. The next 2 to 3 years, predictive, everybody's doing that. So it's not just knowing what your customer has done, it's being able to guesstimate what your customers are going to do.
Okay, well, thank you for your insights today. And I've certainly picked up on a lot of things that I didn't know before. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Listening to OSCHAM podcast. To learn more, visit our website at beijing.oscham.org.